So, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. We as we all know from such games as BioShock Infinite and other games, are you familiar with quantum theory?
Yeah. It's the rule that says if you treat science like magic, anything is possible.
Exactly. You can just use it to explain anything.
Yeah. And I believe Deep House Chopra told me that.
Deep Cut Chopra. So yeah. So I was hanging around in my lab. I was trying to think of what to do to randomize for the next episode, and a mouse ran over my toe, which is scary, but not to be totally unexpected because I live in a degree of filth. And afterwards, this cat was chasing him, and I decided to kind of do some little experimentation and stuff, and I trapped him in this box.
So is this the one where there's the poison and the radiation? And
yeah, you put me down for a little of each. Like I bathed the box in some radiation. I put some poison in there. I put a big cartoon bulldog in there.
Ooh, any insensitive racial depictions?
Yeah, I put a little bit of that in there. I put in some onions, a couple of aspirins. But any one of those things has a 50% chance of killing this cat.
Gary, that makes no sense.
It doesn't, but if I say quantum...
You know what? I read something by Eckhart Tolle that told me...
I heard about it on the Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
I've pronounced bang bong now. I karaoke, I'm amazing.
Ever since you saw that, yeah, she bong.
Yeah.
No, ever since you saw that parody poster in Spencer's Gifts.
Get it on, bongagong. Bakugans. Bangagong, bakugans. Anywho,
Gary, so I want to know what we're playing.
Yeah, well, there's a 50% chance, and here, if I shake this box around here.
Oh, wow, that sounds like a horrible noise. What's going on in there?
Well, I mean, it's either alive or dead. Who knows? But I figured you might want to be around when I open it.
Oh, okay.
And dump it out onto the playing floor.
Wait a minute. Why are you wearing a hazmat suit? Okay. Well, okay.
Radiation, poison, cartoon bulldogs, onions.
Yeah.
Aspirin.
Wait, what's this? It's an SNES cartridge.
Yeah. So due to quantum theory, this cat turned from a live cat to a dead cat. To an SNES cartridge, and I'll pick it up right here. It looks like all right. Good. It is Tom and Jerry for the SNES.
Fuck.
Yeah, fuck.
It's hard to muster any kind of opinion.
Yeah, I have no. I can give no fucks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I just organically said I have no fucks to give three times today.
Mm-hmm.
Just in different situations with different people.
Sometimes you're just all out of fucks.
Yeah. It wasn't until the third one was in the hopper in the sentence I was about to say that I realized it was the third time I was going to say it.
Yeah. I like the other day I said to go fuck yourself like 1,000 times, but it was mostly in my head. I was just very mad. I've been very angry.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no. How many of those were in that text exchange we had?
A lot of them. I mean, and the rest of them were on Twitter, and then the other ones were like in my head. Like, I just have been very angry.
Yeah.
I'm not usually angry, but like I'm becoming an angry person lately. I don't know what's going on.
You know what? You get these transitional seasons, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also, it could just be getting old now. So, like, as you get older, you get angrier, I think.
Usually, if the Clockwork Orange is to be believed, you actually mellow out.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
but if my dad is to believe, you get angrier and more dismissive and abandon-y. So this is Gary Butterfield.
Okay, cool. Hey, Gary.
Hey.
My name is Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we take a serious look at games and give you in-depth commentary on them.
Yeah, right down to the very smallest detail, folks. With no extraneous fluff, it is all thriller, all killer, no filler.
We'll edit this all out. We should do an episode someday. We'll do two episodes, and one of them we edit out everything that's not about the game and just put it in the second episode or put it after the song. But do the first episode that's like literally just less like, yeah, the hit detection's bad. It's really stiff controls.
Okay. Do you really want me to edit that out?
It'd be pretty funny. Like, yeah. No, I mean, no, but like, it would be funny to do. Like, you don't have to edit anything out for content. Yeah. Where is my cat's being a real shithead.
Oh, well.
Speaking of our intro, like the, so for those who don't know, when we were pre-rolling, I was looking at the notes for the latest Bonfireside Chat, and my cat is fascinated with them and sniffing them and licking them. And now he keeps trying to get them, but they're up on my desk, which is crowded and has my router and shit on it.
Yeah.
I don't want to unplug the internet during this recording sesh.
Did you write the notes in something delicious, like a very rich stock?
Yeah, it was a gravy pen.
Yeah.
It had plenty. It makes its own gravy, actually, when you add water.
Yeah. It's a Dorito-flavored crayon.
Yep. Cat gravy.
Cool.
I deal with wet cat food. It's fucking disgusting, dude.
Yeah, no, like even on TV, when you see it, just kind of like hockey puck out of the can, like you're popping a real fat zit.
Yeah, yeah. The pate. Ugh. Kind. Like a pate.
Yeah.
But I mean, I try to give him the stew kind. There's also a kind called shreds with a Z. That is like shredded meat, and those are my favorite kind. They're disgusting. They're not my favorite kind to behold, but they're my favorite kind to talk about to him. Like, you ready for some shreds? And then sometimes I'll just be sitting on a chair watching meat and just like, he loves those shreds.
He loves it.
My boy loves a shred.
Do you ever put like little border goggles on him?
You know? I should.
Yeah.
And it's just shredding it, just like choking down this factory Z meat.
Factory Z, that sounds like the worst German techno band. Factory Z. He lives down by the tracks. never stepped foot in a factory during his entire life.
Yeah, he just lives in one.
Yeah.
So
he dreams of them.
Yep, Winter Factory.
Yeah. This week we're playing Tom and Jerry for the Super Nintendo. This was recommended by Brian Skirsha. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, with a comment. I remember this being terrifically hard when I played it as a child at my cousin's house. Not sure why we even bothered when they had such great games as Super Mario World and Super Mario All-Stars, which were decidedly not torturous, unlike Tom and Jerry's. Also, really, really valuable. Yeah, like, see if you can find that. The one that has Mario World and All-Stars on the same cart.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Tom and Jerry.
No.
Yeah, they're amazing.
I didn't change my cadence when I switched back over to my
your non-reading voice.
Yeah.
Mario All Stars, mm-hmm. Well worth it. But yeah, this somewhat less valuable in all respects.
Culturally, mechanically, as an artifact, as a product.
It is weird to me. Like, so I mean, again. I specifically said last time we recorded, like, I don't want to have the Roadrunner conversation again. But I did have a real moment of, like, who this is for, based on when it came out.
Well, I mean, so there was this whole, for, like, between 90 and 95, like, what do we have? We had the Jetsons movie. There was the Felix the Cat revival. Like, there was this whole jag between 90 and 95 where they were bringing back these weird serialized comics a la The Rocketeer and Darkman. What? The Shadow. There we go.
Yeah.
And then these, like, this is to the 1990s what the Fat Albert remake was to the aughts, in a really weird way.
Fat Albert remake.
Yeah, I think it starred Kenan Thompson as the titular Albert.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just had this real thought that, like, the kids who were around when this came out are seeing this, like, kind of made fun of in Itchy and Scratchy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, who's, like, into this? Because it's so, like, soft-hearted, you know? Like, Tom and Jerry cartoons are kind of violent. But it's real, like, it's, like, it's madcap hijinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, like, it seems like it's aimed at a much younger kid than the Super Nintendo generation, which is not, like, a mark of maturity or anything like that. But just, like, it feels kiddie.
I mean, like, the what do you mean by the Super Nintendo generation?
I just mean, just me being older than you. So that's literally what it is.
I would consider myself to be a part of the Super Nintendo generation. Yeah. And, like, I played this when it was concurrent. Like, my parents rented it for me.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, I'm probably projecting a little bit of
so
just my own experience.
People who were your age when the Super Nintendo was out.
Yeah. Why is this not for them?
Every game should be for me. Make it for me.
My point more being that, like, this has no crossover appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tom and Jerry itself, and then specifically this game, doesn't have, like, it's not like a Mario game, which it's like, oh, this actually has appeal as like a weird surreal artifact. Like even just the metaphor over it has this weird appeal to it, even though it's kind of kiddie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's all ages. This seems explicitly for kids. And like the concept behind it does feel very like it. I mean, it feels like this because it is this. It's from a real different time where like literally the log line is just like, cats don't like mice. And then that's, there's no other twist or complication, you know, like it's just literally like, there's a cat who doesn't like a mouse. What if?
Well, this was concurrent with the 1993 movie that came out.
Mm-hmm.
So again, in that salvo of the early 90s, reviving these late 30s, early 40s cartoons. And in that, they get homeward bounded. Their owners leave and move without them accidentally. And
in order to survive on
the street, they befriend some street tough dogs, but the dogs remind them or somehow just tell them, hey, you know, you can talk, right? And then they have voices like, oh, we never thought to talk, even though we could. And then they like have to like establish their friendship and rescue another little girl who was abandoned, a human, I think, who can talk to them. It's very hazy.
They work together.
Yes, they work together. And then at the end, when they finally get to their new home, they're adopted by the little girl's family. They start to fight again because that is what they're used to.
It's a cycle of violence.
Yeah.
There's really no alternative to that, though. Like you have to do a story.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just not enough. Like it's a weird, like when you take those old timey gag cartoons and try to translate them to anything,
mm-hmm.
they'll never work because they're meant for like 3 minute shorts.
Yeah, they're meant to introduce like other stuff. Like this is something that gets you your kids out, you know, to the house, you know. And like here's what a fucking Smallville childhood I had. Not Smallville, Pleasantville. There we go.
Somebody save me.
That's my stepdad's ringtone, and it fucking pisses me off. Yup, to this day.
It's pretty rad.
I know,
is
right?
It because of Smallville?
Yep.
That's, wow. Oh boy, the history is not going to be kind to that.
Nope. Well, that's too bad he can't change his ringtone.
Yeah, if only the technology existed.
Yep, but he made his choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, the weird Pleasantville existence. I remember my my grandparents taking me to the Auto Workers Union Hall, where they had like an old like film exhibition room for like Saturday morning, like let's air these like play these film strips for the Ontario, Ohio kids, and watching Tom and Jerry in the Auto Workers Union Hall.
Huh.
So this was like an event that I was excited about. Let's go watch these cartoons.
Well, I'm sure we talked about this before, but like when you're little, anything that's a cartoon is good.
Oh yeah, because it, like, it doesn't matter what it is. It makes noise, but like specifically that. And like the when I was playing this and thinking about my past with Tom and Jerry, a lot of pieces started to come together.
Hmm. Yeah, it is a fine format, but I think it's limited and is oftentimes misguided in its attempts to adapt mm-hmm. to anything else.
Yeah,
you know, like even because there was like when I watched Tom and Jerry a little bit as a kid, like it was like a half hour show,
mm-hmm.
and it was made up of shorts, but like it was still a half hour of the same premise, you know, over and over and over. And then like eventually, weirdly enough, like as much as it's kind of played for laughs, The Simpsons perfected it, where it's mm-hmm. like it's literally 10 seconds out of an episode
mm-hmm.
where you just get the like, oh, this is outrageous.
Yeah, it's like a 3-4 beat story.
And that's all I want out mm-hmm. of the premise, a cat doesn't like a mouse.
Yeah.
That is literally as far as I think you can stretch it.
starts like, you know, I want to see a game where Jerry starts to play the long con on Tom. It just really starts to lay it out and just find a way to systematically unravel his life.
Yeah, yeah. That, like I would like, also appreciate that.
Yeah, I want to take it from physical slapstick violence to emotional violence. Yeah, to just long term psychological violence.
It's that monologue from UHF.
Yep.
Where Weird Al comes out and he's like a sad cartoon about a pathetic roadrunner or a roadrunner, a pathetic coyote who keeps getting beaten again and again.
Yeah.
So good. I don't know. It felt weird to me. Like, I don't know. Like this was not, I mean, it's just a bad game too. If it had been an awesome game, that would have been really
like
surprising.
If the surprisingly good Capcom licensed platformer extended into the SNES age.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the subject material of those games is just a little bit more nuanced and complex.
Mm-hmm.
than this. Like, I just dig that more. Yeah, we should talk about what happens. So you collect cheese puffs and walk to the right until you get to the end of very short stages with very repetitive music. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the boss and you beat him, and then you die in the next level. And that's what happens in Tom and Jerry for the SNES. you throw something that's not a cheese puff, but may as well be.
So the fact that I read called them marbles, but I think they're supposed to be olives.
Yeah, they look like more like olives than anything.
Yeah, because they got the little pucker to them. Yeah. There's a little bit of nuance to it, just in terms of, like, okay, maybe the second level has these conveyor belts, and the third level has you treating a curled up movie theater ticket like some kind of toboggan.
Yeah, you do that snowboarding level, but it's not, you're not on a hill or anything. You just press forward to project, and it just means you can't back up or shoot.
Right, and it also means that popcorn is deadly for some reason.
Yeah, it turns popcorn evil.
Yeah.
Don't take popcorn away from me. It is kind of like, on a technical level, kind of impressive. Like, the sprite looks good, and then the end, the giant Tom boss, like, looks cool. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Yeah,
but it's not very fun to fight or anything. It's like, it's very easy. And we gloss over something. That second level with all the conveyor belts. Is
the
that
impossible
based on a cartoon?
Jump?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that thing. Is that based on a cartoon thing? Like, did Tom and Jerry ever fight like octopuses, but they have eyes instead of heads?
Did they ever fight the space mutants from The Simpsons?
Yeah, because they're all over this shit.
Yeah, they're all over that shit. There's also little Brainiacs and Frankenstein's monsters.
And tiny Frankensteins are clearly from a different game. Yep. Like, are clearly from, like, Kid Dracula or
Explosion
something like that.
At the Asset Factory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I have no idea why you go into this mad science lab to fight assets.
Well, they're inside the projector. So is the idea that the subject of the film is dancing around and cavorting inside the machine, and it's actually just magnifying it and sending it out forward for the masses? Are we watching these little creatures try and escape?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
by walking back and forth until they get olives thrown at them.
Yeah. You know, the sodium.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. And olives are good. Mm. Wish I ate some olives playing this shit.
Stop up all on that olive piece. Yeah. Just have a jar. Open it before you play the game, so you don't have to take your hands off to open it.
Every time I shoot an olive in the game, I shoot an olive into my mouth. Yep. Like, rig up a machine or a helmet that does such.
You unfortunately time a yawn.
Yeah.
What happened to Gary?
Here lies Gary. Your guess is as good as ours.
He yawned an olive.
He yawned while wearing an olive helmet. Don't do it.
I take a tour of middle schools, giving the most baffling, like, drug abstinence, like, motivational.
Pull out, a chart that just explains the use of the helmet, and just, like, okay, you're going to need a lot of background. Yo. Tom and Jerry was a 1930s cartoon created by...
3 hours later, I urge them not to make one of these, but I show them detailed plans on how to do it. And whatever you do, make sure there's that you don't get the friction coefficient exactly at 3.2.
Yeah, don't for the God's sake, don't do the clematis. You can't handle the clematis. I would like to use some olives. There's nothing to, there's very little to say about this game. Like, it's bad, but not bad in a way that I felt like if I really tried, I could have beat it. It's not so hard. It's not doesn't mm-hmm. control that badly. It's just, like, boring. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so very little to it.
Yeah, it's basic.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and so I fired up. So I didn't own this one, but I owned the Tom and Jerry Game Boy game, which was kind of concurrent with this. Which, just take this and scale it back even further.
Yeah, I'd imagine. So the SNES or the NES version is pretty much the same thing too, except a little bit in the middle.
Yeah. But for some reason, like, the music in the Game Boy one is actually better.
Well, it'd be hard to be worse. But the music in this is really bad and inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, it's off key.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Like, the main theme is not correct.
It's off key and it's a very short loop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is Abject Suffering and not another show, I'm not going to ask you to put me on hold while I get my cat away from my fucking router.
Okay, cool.
So everyone can listen to the drama. Roars, what are you doing? Buddy, go lay down. I know. All right.
Okay, cool. Oh, well, yeah. He knows we're talking about cats and violence towards cats.
Yeah. He just like, I'm just going to, I don't know, throw an olive at him. Like, who gives a shit? I can throw an olive at my cat right now. Nothing's happened.
Yeah. You've developed several devices to do specifically that.
Yeah. Hey, Rory, put on this helmet. But a cat wears it. It's a harness.
It's a hardy up. Yeah. It's like one of those Fallout Equestria rigs. Yep.
Yeah. This game also seems to have inspired like a collective like sigh from the internet as well.
Yeah.
Or like there's so little to find about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's like one game fact, which is like helpful and non-noteworthy until the end, where it just does like game facts aggrandizing. Where he thinks Brian Sulfur, his never-ending fountain of writing inspiration.
Yep. He thinks any of the food that he consumed, which that's the second time that's happened.
Yeah, you don't need to thank the food that give yourself some credit. Yes. Like it's not like the plant grew in your mouth.
Yeah.
Like you had to do some things to get that, buddy.
Well, he also thanks his parents.
Yeah, exactly. And then just like how proud we are of our son.
In an incredibly specific apartment 181 in Denton, Texas in 1987.
Yeah. Yep. Thank God we know where this guy lives.
Yeah. So the best ever fact writer out of Denton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is
yeah.
Super, super weird. But the rest of it just normal.
Yeah.
And he just likes it. Like everybody else is kind of, you know, bashing it.
Well, he even just seems to be why would you climb Everest? Because it's there. Because in the introduction he says, well, just to round everything out here, because there is no fact, I will write a fact about it.
Yeah.
And then he proceeds to get very confrontational. You got a problem with that? Huh?
Oh, man. I didn't actually. I was confusing his review with somebody else's. His review, the review by Snowdragon, is actually fucking intolerable. Have you seen this?
No. Let me navigate
thus,
over there.
Thus saith the dragon, and so it be true from the Book of Snowdragon.
God.
Volume.
What is he, a fucking Levian Satanist?
And lo, the small boy did place the Tom and Jerry cartridge into the SNES, looking at the clock to make sure he did not surpass the time limit for gaming imposed by his parents.
Yeah.
Of great and authoritative stature. Oh, man. This is the equivalent. Like, you have complained about this, and Zach was complaining about video games, hot dog, about how you can't, like, find a walkthrough that's in text form.
Right.
Like, I don't want any of this stuff. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, like why is this here?
It is a stylish platformer that sadly suffers from amateur pole vaulter syndrome.
It flops?
Yeah, that's what he means.
No, but a flop is actually a pretty intense technique. That's more of an advanced to medium to moderate.
There's a specific, I remember we spent a day in gym learning the Fallsbury flop.
Yep.
Which is a thing.
That was fun.
Arch for show talking as well, the Fallsbury flop. that man had calves like bowling balls. Yeah. It was like you just stuffed a normal human's calf with a bowling ball. It was incredible. And then he went into real estate. So like my gym teacher is like, picture was everywhere around town.
But he was just, it's a full body picture. And he's pulling up one pant leg to reveal a calf that looks like Popeye's forearms.
That has a house like yep. tattooed on it.
Yeah.
This could be yours.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I made a goof earlier when I said LeVay and Satanist. Those are the ones who just like smoke a bunch of pot and say, fuck it, I'll do whatever. I'm actually thinking of actual people who do rituals and shit. So
yeah,
I apologize.
Like the, what's his head? Evil Sorcerer Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that guy's name?
I don't know.
the most famous, it's not Anton LeVay. It's
Aleister Crowley? Yeah.
Aleister Crowley is who I was thinking about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Evil Sorcerer Boy.
Evil Sorcerer Boy.
I'm Evil Sorcerer Boy.
Ooh, look. You better run.
I would play that game on Game Boy.
Evil Sorcerer Boy.
He also says in here it makes Felix the Cat look like Contra, discounting the fact that Felix the Cat is a pretty good game.
Did he say that?
Yeah, it's in the review.
Okay.
It's like subparagraph 12. I don't Jesus. Blame anybody for not getting that far into this nonsense. Yeah.
So when you said like both Zach and I complain about the lack of written material on the web being supplanted by video most times, and you don't want this. Is it just like, okay, this is, you sound kind of dismissive, like this is proof that shouldn't be.
No. What I mean is that the I can see what you mean. What I mean is just that they're both, the reason why they're both bad is because there's noise.
Oh yeah.
And this has tons of noise. Like, mm-hmm. it is trying to get across personality and something that should be utilitarian. Mm-hmm. And the thing with those video walkthroughs is, even if they are to the point, they so rarely are, and it is a lot of mouth breathing and like attempts at jokes and swearing and stuff.
Yeah. Oh man. So I would like to thank and dedicate this podcast to the remembrance of any spores that died over the course of me breathing. May your sacrifice not have been in vain.
So one of the things I was talking about, crank cabin, and one of the things that made me mad is I'm in a writing class, and that always makes me mad. Mm-hmm. And the so this review, man, if you want like a textbook example of like how not to write, but kind of sound clever, because there's no, the language is like, this is a really bad example of passive language.
Oh yeah.
Like there's no, like, it's like shrugging the feeling off momentarily and looking at the graphics, you get the sensation, like you're constantly getting feelings and sensations rather than just mm-hmm. like saying what the thing is. And we know it's coming from you.
Yeah.
Because like, man, this like cut this word count in like a quarter. Mm-hmm. This is insane.
Well, I mean, this is the way that I wrote in middle school.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, just overly flowery because I wanted to impress people. Right?
Yeah, it's like a fedora lord, the way they like talk in their YouTube manifestos.
Yeah, yeah. And people, you know? people, you know, give me shit for using, you know, word-a-day calendar words now, but I like to at least hope it's nowhere near as superfluous or beside the point as this.
Well, they're different. Like, they're different issues. I that doesn't bother me that you do that. But like, there's one. It's an issue of like efficiency of communication, where you're using words that like nobody, or you can't be assumed that the audience is going to know what they mean. Mm-hmm. Versus just adding a lot of extra chaff to make yourself sound smart. Like, they're two different drawbacks. Mm-hmm. One of which has a trade off, and one of which is just farting like everywhere, which is what this is.
Yeah.
Fuck this guy, man. I feel like I have nothing else. This is very short, but I have nothing else to say about Tom or Jerry or Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
By high-tech expressions. Like
that thing that you said about like they would absolutely have to extend the plot for the movie. Mm-hmm. Like that just reminded me of how awesome the episode of The Simpsons that was centered around the Itchy and Scratchy movie was.
Oh yeah.
Because they alluded to this
23% new footage.
Yep.
Yeah.
but they alluded to the fact that it had this life change, like it was like a life changing story for them.
I've been like, you did that Simpsons rewatch, and I keep seeing Simpsons things that are like drawing me back in mm-hmm. to do a rewatch, but it's hard to, you know, it's hard to justify watching like old TV when there's a lot of new TV that I want to watch.
On that tip, Gary, don't sleep Silicon Valley.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I want to watch that. All the cast members of it were just on a episode of Comedy Bang Bang and were really funny.
Oh, nice. Yeah. No, I couldn't sleep last night, and I had that free month of HBO Now on mm-hmm. the Apple TV. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just watch a whole season of this when I should be sleeping. And yeah.
Now that Better Call Saul is wrapped up, mm-hmm. I'm gonna find a way to watch that.
Yeah.
Without having cable, and I would gladly just pay for like just pay for one channel if I could do it.
Yep.
But I can't. It's fucking dumb, man. Elizabeth watches Mad Men and she has to like go to a bar at like 11 o'clock on a Sunday to watch.
Oh my god.
To watch this show. Just let's buy one fucking cable channel.
Yeah. Well, that's what's cool about that HBO Now thing. I would never buy cable or in order to get HBO, you have to have this whole subscription plus this other thing. Whereas this, I'm kind of tempted just to like turn it on for a month or two and just watch all of, you know, Deadwood and watch all of, you know, The Sopranos or whatever. Like
The Wire.
Yeah. Well, I already got The Wire. Right. The Wire's unlocked. Don't worry.
Oh, man, that just makes me. That's just. I just forgot that you haven't watched Deadwood yet.
Yep.
Dog, you gotta watch Deadwood.
Like, I know, right?
You'll really like it. Like, yeah, it's super good.
Yeah.
You can tell what like kind of like shitty episodes of Abject Suffering where like the game is just doesn't inspire very much. Where mm-hmm. just kind of like. Let's talk about things that are good that have nothing to do with, like, we're not talking about other cat or mouse related things.
Oh, no. We're just trying to fill this out so it shows up as a half an hour.
Yeah. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So I'm sorry if we didn't give this proper shrift, Brian. Like,
yeah, no, this doesn't reflect on you. We didn't play it as kids, though. Like, we just played it as now. And I think if you go back to it, like, it's actually not that bad. It's just boring.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're approaching like a level of expertise in shitty games based on the show, at least by sheer number. Like, yeah. Not nowhere near as like there are people who have done way worse than us, you know, and have played way more shitty games than we have.
Yeah.
But we're getting there. Like, we're getting a level of like journeyman proficiency with this.
So here's what I'm going to say. When the Wii was in fashion and when people were just kind of like really ready to dismiss it, they were talking about it as though it was this newfound font of shovelware that was just based on like terrible things that just had very little to no pretext to exist, right? Based on this show and the stuff that I'm looking at, and yes, we're getting kind of a skewed sample here, I think that it might have been much worse in the SNES era.
The SNES era was really bad for it, and the PlayStation era I feel like it always happens, like it's always been a thing. And I think what underlines it usually is like how many like good games you can kind of counteract with it. Like if there's like good third-party support for a system, you just don't notice it as much. So like the SNES doesn't have a reputation for that, but there's probably just as many. Whereas the Wii, which like third-party developers more or less abandoned pretty quickly, does have that reputation. You know what system doesn't have that reputation, which is weird, is Nintendo 64, which like I think just feels like it has like a incredibly small library of which like there's, you know, kind of a few, you know, a small number of really great games. I really remember, but I don't think of a lot of like garbage on it.
You can't think of a lot of garbage, but
like shovelware garbage.
Yeah.
Like it has a small library, but like it feels like it is at a hit to miss ratio, like kind of actually good, even though I don't think it has that many good games on it.
Yeah. Like, so the N64 more so than like most other systems, except for like maybe the Wii at your parents' house, feels like an appliance.
Yeah.
You know, like they're like just that there are people who are going to like be signed up for that for like one or two particular things. Like not a lot of people are like going to be omnivorous or looking for a wide expanse of new, you know, experiences on it.
Yeah. It's weird. I can't think of anything like a shitty shovelware game for that system right now. I'm sure they exist, but
pretend that you have not read any of the Wikipedia pages for like Tom and Jerry video games. What do you think the most recent what do you think the most recent Tom and Jerry game is?
What year or what game is it?
Well, let's say year. When did the most recent Tom and Jerry game come out?
I'm sure it will be shocking, but if I was just guessing in good faith, I would say like 2003.
No, 2015.
Oh.
Yeah, because apparently 2003, that kind of started up this new trend of Tom and Jerry themed fighting games. And I remember selling these to like poor little Flanders kids when I worked at GameStop. But I am shocked at the fact that right now Tom and Jerry Fight of Whiskers, which that's not even a like that's not a thing, dog. Fight
what
of
are you
Whiskers,
about?
Yeah, Fight of Whiskers.
With any of this, let's
for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
Why are there fighting games? Based? Yeah. What does that? How would those articulate?
So it's not like frame counting, you know, Marvel versus Capcom kind of shit. It's like Power Stone.
Huh.
Yeah, like top down three. Yeah, I looked up some videos of these, and they're all kind of in the same style.
That's weird.
Yeah, along with racing games as well.
Well, racing games, like everything gets mapped onto racing games.
Yeah, yeah.
Fighting games, especially if there are multiple ones, that's stranger.
Mm-hmm.
How weird, man.
Like over like a decade.
That's very strange. I'm very surprised by that.
Yeah. I'm looking at this War of the Whiskers. The animation is something special. Yeah, they all just look like Power Stone.
When I was young, I remember what of like an aunt or uncle telling me that if a cat lost its whiskers, it would be blind. And then cats naturally shed their whiskers. Mm-hmm. And that scared the shit out of me like as a kid. Because I would find a whisker and just be like, oh, no, you know.
Well, if you trim a cat's whiskers, they're fucked because they're sensory, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they use that to like gauge like the width of stuff they can squeeze through.
Yeah, but they're not. It doesn't literally make them blind. Right. Like, they're not, you know.
So you thought that every cat had like a countdown to being blind and invalid?
And that was like, she loves me, she loves me not. he sees me, sees me not. Sees me, he sees me not.
That's a weird way to play peekaboo, Gary.
Yeah, like hold still for a long time. I don't know what I thought. I was just scared because I was a kid.
I don't know what I thought. I was just scared. Can I get that as like a like a needlepoint sampler?
When I worked at Pendleton, which is a fancy clothing thing, they started doing embroidered baby blankets, and I really wanted, and you could tie it, we would type in the message for people, and I really wanted to slip one in that was just like, "You're very disappointing to me," because that's a very funny thing to be on a baby blanket. Yeah. So, like, if I ever have a baby, like, I am 100% like putting in front of signs and stuff that say that, because of course, like, of course a baby's not disappointing to you, and of course, you know,
yeah.
You know, it just, it, and I like to think, and then I'd struggle to raise a kid that would think it was funny. and if I didn't, I'd failed. Yeah. Start over.
You're describing an Aquid gag. Roast beef buying baby t-shirts that say, "So what if a tit is food? I ain't bugging." It has a picture of a bug on it. So we have other games to talk about, Gary.
Yeah. Anywho, Brian, mildly go fuck yourself. Treat yourself to a sensual wank.
Yeah, light a candle.
Yeah, light a candle and actually get out something slippery and keep it gentle.
Yeah, don't just raw dog it. What?
Don't raw dog it this time.
Yeah, don't do a friction style.
Yeah, treat yourself. Treat yourself to a slip and slide palm job. And
Gary. I just said that made me sad. I like the idea that we like that we're in a position to give somebody permission to use lube while they we're all humans here, we're all adults.
I that's like a terrifying sci-fi novel. Yeah. like the brain dyad, and it's just like the, you know, two brains floating in a jar that you have to ask for permission for before you can like use up a little bit of the lube supply for the colony.
Yeah, the colony.
And there's just like a wooden washtub with a ladle on the side.
It's behind a bunch of Get Smart doors.
Yeah. Just like, might I have a dollop? Brain dust, can I have a dollop?
A little dab will do me.
No dollop for you. Go back to the sorghum field.
The crick. This crick thing is getting out of hand.
its future is Crick 2000.
Yeah.
Master Crick. Can I have a dollop for my Peter?
Yeah.
No.
Are they being sucked through a tube or dropped through a chute? Gary, I need to know which way they're going.
That's just a sound effect. That's just okay. Space.
Okay.
Space noises.
Yeah.
From the trailer.
Of Crick 2000.
Yeah, for Crick 2000, a series of people asking to see if they can have some kind of lubrication for their Peters.
And it's like a little bit of a Logan's Run kind of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where like a couple of them want to get out. Like they hear fables of far off lands where lube flows like water.
Yeah, there's a lube river.
Mm-hmm.
Master Crick, I've been raw dogging it for so long. Please, please, no.
We're gonna stow away on a rocket to the offworld colonies. I hear tell of an astroglide belt between Mars and Jupiter.
Go to Lugubrious 4.
Instead of a gem in their palm is just chafed skin. It's like a boil. It's a permanent heat blister.
And then there's a society of people in white robes who have quit masturbating, but they're real creepy and nobody talks to them. And it's like, why don't you become one of the celibate?
Join the Wet Dream Society.
Yes. Look how my palms have healed. No, I'll never join you maniacs.
It's like reverse stigmata.
I'll get off this planet.
In a world of calloused dicks.
Crick 2000 is a good movie. Like this is a good movie.
Establishing shot. Exterior. Day. A rolling green sorghum field.
our hero. Spectrum. Spectrum 12.
Spectrum.
I've got a raging boner. What do I do? What do I do? Spectrum, no. Keep your hands off your trouser front. At least go ask the great one.
I'm not going to crawl to them and ask them.
And then when Ruby 17, his erstwhile companion discovers a new use for sorghum gum. Have you been given the penalty for squeezing sorghum juice onto thy nethers? Is cool, dude.
You shall be dude with attitude.
This dude has too much attitude.
Yeah. Well, we're basically describing the prisoner, except that instead of having the sentinel pod things that bounce around and absorb people.
Yeah, they're just dudes with attitude.
Yeah, we're just bouncing after people.
Crick 2000.
Crick 2000. Somebody make that poster for us, please.
Or just do the whole production.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if somebody's going to greenlight this, we're going to shop it around.
Yeah. So if you're a high powered producer, and you want to accept colonized screenplay, yeah, that we're going to write
if you want a story that has sexual intrigue,
sorghum.
Yep. stunning social commentary, like about the speculative future.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's really a dark mirror to society now.
Yeah. You know what? We're showing people truths that they're afraid to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so help these jerks get their feet off the ground.
Yeah, man. We're stuck here in the podcast ghetto. All these ideas.
Yeah. Anywho. Use lube.
You know what? Use it even if the two have not said you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if Crick, Master Crick has decided against it, we say you can use lube. At least do it now before it disappears.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
before we reach peak lube.
Exactly. At some point, because we're on a road to Crick 2000. Mm-hmm. And then use lube, rate, review.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV.
Yeah.
And suggest games at duckpea.tv/contact.
Yeah, next week we're talking about Bram Stoker's Dracula for Sega CD.
Indeed. And good night and good luck.